Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good afternoon. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So we are live call-in radio right here on 770 KTTH. And it is just a few minutes past 3 o'clock. And a reminder, actually an announcement, that on June 4th, we will no longer be here. We will be on the same station, but we are going to be here at 11 a.m. So if you come looking for us, I don't know who's going to fill in the time slot, but we will have already been done, gone home, and undoubtedly be working on the honey-do list.
That's what's going to happen, yes.
Anyway, this is live call-in radio. We talk about the stock market, the bond market, investments in general that are in the capital market. So if you want to talk to us about something in your portfolio, recommendation that you've had from your friendly neighborhood financial advisor, you can give us a call at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. The lines are open and we are standing by to talk with you. If you were paying attention at all, this was another week of excitement in the market.
There's a lot of those building up, aren't there? It's just week after week, there's unbelievable stuff going on out there.
And one of the things that happens when the stock market is in the tank, as it has been since the beginning of the year, is that new opportunities come for you to invest in something which is going to solve your frustration.
We have solved your mystery for you. Yes, we know what you need to do.
So if you watch business or business TV, or you're obviously listening to business talk radio, I mean, there's lots of programs and lots of offers on various things that, since the stock market's down, you should have had this in the first place. Because if you'd had it in the first place, we would have solved your problem. You wouldn't be worrying about it. And those things come across our desk on a regular basis.
All the time. But they never tell you till now. Not the end of last year, so when you really could have used that information, but now they know where you should have been.
That's right. And one of those that showed up on my desk on Friday came from The Motley Fool, and it was a solicitation to financial advisors saying, oh, by the way, guess what we have for you for your clients?
We found the answer to this mystery. We can show you the way.
The headline is, the next ETF has just arrived in your inbox.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
And then the next big bold headline is, they've done the work, so you don't have to. Just put this in your client's account. Okay, so we're curious.
What do we got here? Right. What are we looking at?
We got to go look it up on the charts and see what the charts say. Well, it actually is a brand new ETF that they introduced to the market on December 31. That's the first day it shows up with a price. Okay, this is the all-encompassing, we don't have to do anything except put it in our client's account, and happiness reigns.
Sounds great.
Yep, so I just checked. Now, if you don't know, Thursday was a really bad day in the market. And so as of the first day that this fund, the Fool Next Index ETF, was available to Thursday close, its return is a negative 32%.
Ooh, funny. That doesn't sound like the answer, does it? Yeah.
But fear not. This is going to take care of all your allocation problems.
Yeah.
But Friday was a good day. It was an exceptional day. And so from December 31 through Friday's close, it had a actually, Friday was a screaming day for all sorts of stuff.
Big time.
And it was up 5%. So now you're only down 27% year-to-date.
Year-to-date, 27 down, and that's the next big thing, guys. That's the next big thing we should be looking at.
not to worry about how to allocate your money. So we've had some really significant drops in the market. This four months. And this is the worst initial 4 months of any year since 1939.
So that's historic. This is a historically bad time in the market for both stocks and bonds at the same time. And real estate and gold and everything else seems to be going down right now.
So for the S&P, it squeaked by within a fraction of a percent of not falling into the dreaded 20% bear market territory. Mm. It got right down there and it said, "Ooh, I don't want to go there." And Friday it rallied big time. But we've had rapid drops in 2018 and 2020, and these were aberrations. What's really interesting about the bear market flirtation, which we had in 18, in 2020, we actually got below the 20% mark. We're down 34.
Right.
But 18, we did another one of these 19 and a fraction, and it's, so close to 20. We don't want to do that. Let's get out of here. What happened was the Fed had been tightening monetary policy, and the market got, the S&P got really close to 20%, and the Fed threw in the towel.
There we go.
So now the question is, will the Fed throw in the towel this time?
Here we are again, and they're not just looking at the markets. Now the biggest reason for rate increases is trying to combat the near runaway inflation we're looking at. And so the Fed really needs to continue to raise rates, but that means it's not going to stop hurting the market. So it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of rabbit they try to pull out of their hat. And hopefully they don't just fold up their tent and go home like they did last time.
Well, the conditions are different.
True. I mean, true enough.
Because we do have much higher inflation.
Yep.
And the good news last week was that the new inflation number was only 8.3 instead of 8.5.
Right.
Now,
so it stopped. It's going up a little slower. It's still going up, but it's going up a little slower. So that's the good news.
And that's the issue. It's the rate of increase that's happening.
Yep.
Because what came on the heels of that does not get a lot of press was the producer price index.
Right.
Which has already hit 11%.
Yep.
And guess what producers do?
As much as they can, if they have any ability, all those prices get passed on to the consumer. That's where those end up. They end up in the bottom line price of things at the market. We end up paying those.
And the 8.5 or 8.3, whichever one you want to put your hat on, includes the cost of home ownership or equivalent rent for home ownership. And those numbers have just started coming into the data stream because they are entered into the CPI on a 5-quarter lag. And we just picked up one nasty quarter. We have 4 more rising home prices to go, 4 more quarters to go before housing prices, if they level off or taper,
correct,
before they quit impacting the inflation number.
And spoiler alert here, that means inflation is not done and it's not going to get better anytime soon. That's not going to be a pretty thing. That's one more of those inputs we don't want to see come on board, but it's already in line. It's already going to come in.
So you want to talk to us today? We have an open phone line. Ben's sitting in there waving at us. I mean, he's awake. I'm not normally in the studio, so I don't know whether he's awake or not.
Who, Ben? No, Ben's the only reason we make it through this hour. Yeah, so.
Anyway, you want to talk to us, he's there ready to answer the phone. It's 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. Well, along with just a massive amount of volatility in the last several weeks, actually the last several months, When we take a look at volatility, I can't remember the last time we've seen volatility numbers as high as they are this last couple of weeks.
It's true. It's really unprecedented, the market swings we're seeing, and it makes it quite difficult for professionals, let alone individual investors, to get a handle on what they should be doing, because day to day the things you're looking at could just change dramatically, and that's the market we're in right now.
Well, one of the things we're hoping that doesn't change dramatically is the Fed, but
correct.
If we go back to a couple of prior Fed chairmen, think of Paul Volcker and Greenspan,
right,
and Bernanke, I don't remember so much about Janet Yellen when she was there, other than I remember Janet Yellen told Congress we'd never have another bear market in 500 years.
Right, 500 years. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We're done with that. Yeah. Which is what academia will tell you. I mean, that's the way that if you're just looking at statistics, that's the way that's supposed to work out. But in reality, of course, that's not what happens.
But in those prior chair periods, the chair was the spokesperson.
Correct.
Nobody else dared speak publicly.
Nobody got out of line. And Janet Yellen was the one that really did embrace openness. And she wanted everyone to put their opinion out there so there was no surprises. And instead of clarity, what came out was chaos. And nobody could tell, well, what's the Fed going to do then? Some people are saying yes. Some people are saying no. Rates are up. Rates are down. And all of a sudden, we don't know what's going to happen. So
last week, Chairman Powell said, well, we're taking the 75 basis points off the table. You know, we don't see a need for that. We'd just do a couple of half a point hikes, and that should be enough to put the death knell on inflation. And it was only a day and a half or so later, the Cleveland Fed president, and I don't remember her name, but she said, no, we need 75 basis points. And then Bill Dudley, who's no longer on the Fed, but spent a term there.
Right.
He opined, I believe in the Wall Street Journal, the Fed needs to move interest rates to 5% in order to stop this inflation. This 2 to 3% rate is not going to do enough. Well, so the market goes, oh, that's good news. No, that's not good news.
The same things happen if you watch the Fed that's happening in the market. Huge swings in the outlook, and it's really difficult to see going forward what's coming up. What are we going to do here? And it's just getting increasingly tough. That's one of the reasons the volatility exists. People can't get a handle on what's the Fed going to do? And until they do, they're not going to be able to settle into a strategy to move forward because they're not really sure what they're going to do in the first place.
So one of the other problems is a lot of people have left the market, and liquidity does have a bit of a problem. Liquidity has been provided by the Fed. They've been the global buyer of bonds.
Now, correct.
Bank of Japan and the European Central Bank, Bank of Canada, and even the People's Bank of China, they've all been buyers of treasury. But now the Fed says, no more.
We're going to stop.
In fact, we're going to start letting these things mature and not replace them, and may in fact become sellers. Well, the question is, who's going to buy $9 trillion worth of bonds from the Fed?
That's a lot. That's a lot of bonds. They're going to be on the market, and we're going to have to wait and see. And like, again, we're going to have to make sure the Fed doesn't do that again, because we have to get back to a more regular market, more normal, where demand is supplying the bond prices instead of an artificial buyer. And that's what we've got right now. We should get out of here for a break right now. We are... We're a little late here. Let's get out here. I'd like to remind everyone that we do have our next market update on the calendar. It's scheduled for Saturday, June 4th, 9 o'clock in the morning, and you can register for that by going to irradio.com. That is irradio.com. Just click, head to the registration page and click that registration link. You're going to have an email link come back to you, and then on June 4th, you just click that link. You'll be live online with us. You'll be able to see the charts we're talking about, look at the things that we are seeing, hopefully get some clarity on the market, and we always have plenty of time to answer your questions. So if you have questions about the economy or the markets or specific securities in your portfolio, it's a really good time to get a second opinion. Again, you can register for that by going to irradio.com. If you'd like to talk to us here this afternoon, we'd love to talk to you. Number's 800-465-8770. It's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this. Mama said. Mama said. Mama said. Mama said there'll be
days. You're listening to Investor Resources Live Radio. You want to talk to us today? There is still pretty close to 45 minutes left.
Plenty of time.
Three segments here anyway. 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. Well, along with the massive amount of volatility uncertainty in the market, we did have the announcement that there is an end of an era.
Indeed. How about that?
Apple discontinues its last iPod model. if you have one, they apparently now become collector's items.
Although there are a lot of them out there. They sold a lot of them, yeah.
So it was a groundbreaking device. Actually, it is what turned Apple on the verge of bankruptcy into the behemoth that it is today.
I'll never forget Steve Jobs coming out, walking out on the stage and telling everyone, I want to show you, you know that little pocket you have in your jeans, that little pocket? You don't know what it's for? It's a watch pocket. But anyway, let me show you what it's for. And he pulls the first little iPod out of there. This is what it's for. It's already ready-made for this little product we want to fill every pocket in America with. And they pretty much did that.
Well, I missed that. I never saw that. I didn't realize they were that small in
the
beginning.
You worked too hard. Yeah. Too hard. Yeah, you got to. Yeah.
The one I have is an iPad, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the one we use to connect to the station.
Correct.
So I never had an iPod.
Right.
But anyway, they are going away. And it's not just with Apple that has a problem. This whole area of fangs, the Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, all these companies were bid up speculative pricing.
Correct.
Based on they are going to have product sales up the yin-yang forever.
Yep. Never going to stop.
And now that interest, and with interest rates at zero, trying to discount future customer growth, which Netflix found out doesn't last forever, with a zero interest rate to discount the future value of all that growth, the prices seemed reasonable until the Fed raised interest rates and things changed.
That changes everything, absolutely.
And they have changed quickly. In fact, I was... when I mentioned the 5% change from Thursday to Friday on Motley Fool's ETF.
Right.
They're still down 27% from their December 31
right.
high. I wonder what's going on with these other things that are such favorite stocks like Apple. So on Thursday, year to date, it was only down. I say year to date. Actually, I picked the high, and so it may not be December 31.
Gotcha.
It was minus 21, and it recovered 2 percentage points on Friday. But Microsoft recovered 2. It was minus 25. It's still minus 23. The same for Google, minus 25. It's now minus 23. Amazon did a little better. It gained 3 points. It was minus 42. It's now minus 39.
Woof.
But Tesla, up 5.5% on Friday alone, but still negative 37 from the high.
Those are really tough numbers. And don't forget, you know, 6 months ago, that list of stocks, those were the ones you couldn't afford not to own. You had to have them in your portfolio or you were not getting any decent returns. You had to own those. And boy, the worm has turned on those. And like they said, all it's always true. It doesn't matter how good a company is, doesn't matter how long they've been successful, they're going to go through cyclical down cycles, and we are seeing that right now.
And it's not likely to be over just because Friday was a big rally day.
Correct. That's one day. It's one day. The trend is still negative.
So if you've been on any of our webinars, you know we look at charts, and so I went through all these charts on Friday and watching these things develop and said, well, none of them are reaching a turning point that looks like it's probably going to persist.
Correct.
We have a one-day rally. And what are the things that are still going on? Well, the Fed says they're going to tighten conditions. They're going to sell bonds. They're going to raise interest rates. Those things haven't changed. The inflation numbers aren't changing. Consumers are having to change their spending patterns because gasoline and groceries are getting more expensive, and they're
eating up that home economy, right?
So the discretionary spending is coming under pressure. So what changed other than it was a great day to buy the dip?
Right, and we've said it many times before. You know, those big days in the market, those big up days, almost always occur in the midst of a down market. That's when those big jumps happen. So the important thing is to not get drawn in by a single day of trading or two or three days of trading. When you look at the trend all the major indices are still well below their 200-day moving average. And that means really not there's not a lot of good news out there right now. It's going to take some substantial gains before anything firms up enough that it looks like the drop's finally over. And we're just not seeing that yet.
So one of the things that we did cover in the webinar that we did just last Saturday.
A week ago, yeah.
Yeah, last Saturday. Was we took a look at the arguments, which I've heard on various TV programs. You got to stay in the market, because if you don't stay in the market, you're going to miss out on the best days of the market.
Always, right?
Like Friday.
Yeah.
You know, okay, well, yes. And I shout at the TV monitor, well, what about missing out on the worst days of the market?
Bingo.
They never want to talk about that. So we did. And if you haven't, if you're not familiar with the numbers, you should be. So go to our website, irradio.com, click on the video tab, and click on the webinar that's right at the top of the page for last week.
May 7th, yeah.
And it's only a couple of slides in there. You don't have to watch the whole thing, because we covered it pretty early in the
show. Oh, but once you start, you're not going to want to quit.
Well, so, that's it just captures your imagination.
There you go.
Anyway, we illustrate the numbers about what happens if you miss out on the worst days and you still miss out on the best days, and you're better off.
Way better off, significantly better off. It's in a downtrend like this, you don't want to play around with trying to, as they say, catch that falling knife. It's too dangerous, and almost every time you're going to get hurt. It's going to hurt your portfolio.
So the worst days and the best days typically occur after the S&P 500 has fallen below the 200-day moving average.
Yeah.
And we are clearly there.
We're there, and yeah.
And we're not anywhere close to getting back up above that level. So if you are in a defensive mode, then, and you should be, in our opinion, then you probably sit still for a while. We wait for confirmation before we jump back in to try and pick up the upside. We need some positive news here. And right
now, we don't like
to
guess. We don't want to guess when it's over. We're watching for those trends to reform, and they will. We have no idea when, and we have no idea where the strength is going to come back, but it will. It always does. Nothing goes up forever, and nothing goes down forever. So it's going to turn around. It's going to firm up. We just don't know when, and we don't know where, but we're going to wait for the trend to be the signal instead of guessing, well, you know what? Friday was a good day. Let's just jump back in the market, because that's a good way to get a hole blown in your portfolio.
So for most people, sitting on your hands most days is probably the best thing to do.
That's true.
So the person who does the most almost always loses. So you're despondently bullish on Tuesday, you're hopeful on Wednesday, you're bearish on Thursday, and Friday it's all over and you're in the game, you're ready. And so basically, if it's green you buy, if it's red you sell.
Right.
And we had a whole period of last year of people doing that with stocks that were on the verge of bankruptcy. They became known.
They were. That's right.
They were. GameStop and AMC for a couple of examples.
Yep.
And those people, the retail investors who looked like they were making a lot of money at this point in time, according to the statistics, they virtually have lost it all. It's all gone. It's kind of like the crypto investors.
Yeah, you have a good few days, and it looks like, wow, we've got this figured out. We're going to make a fortune. And then as time takes its toll on those significantly risky moves, all of a sudden everything reverts to the mean, and all your gains are gone. And it happens over and over again to people.
So you want to talk to us, we have an open phone line right now. It's 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. And a reminder that we are here at 3 o'clock today and through the Saturdays through the end of the month. But on the 4th of next month, when we do our next stock market update webinar, which you can register at irradio.com, on that same day, we will be doing our live call-in radio show, this show, at 11 a.m.
New time.
You will not have to mess up your afternoon plans. You can no longer use us as an excuse.
Correct.
For not doing the honeydew list.
Which is what we've been doing.
That's right.
I'd love to, but I got to go to the show. So, yeah.
I'm not done with my show prep, sweetie. I mean, I'd love to can't we do that next weekend when I'm doing my show prep? You know,
there we go.
The excuse never changes. Well, the issue is we're here, and what we try to do with our clients is just say, here's the way things work. You know, we may not like what's going on right now. That doesn't matter. We don't set the stage. All we don't forecast anything because nobody knows tomorrow or next week's work.
Yeah, can't be done.
All we can do is adapt to the new reality. And even when you do the right things, it doesn't guarantee that the outcome is going to be what you want.
And that doesn't seem fair, but that's true. That's exactly what happens. It doesn't matter how well-intentioned you are or how often whatever you're doing has worked in the past. There's no guarantee that's going to follow through to whatever's going on right now.
So that's basic. Go ahead.
When we come back, we'll talk about that. We're going to get out of here at the bottom of the hour.
You're going to cut me off?
Yeah, yeah. Time for a break here. I'd like to remind everyone, if you'd like to get our weekly email newsletter, The Week in Review, you can register for that by sending an email to help@iriradio.com. That's help@iriradio.com. We just need you to put Week in Review in the subject line and your first and last name in the body of the email, and you will begin receiving that on Monday. It's a pretty good look at what's gone on in the previous week and the things you need to pay attention to, and more importantly, a lot of the stuff that you just can safely ignore. So you can get a little more. Again, we're big on clarity. Again, send that email to help@iriradio.com. You are listening to Investor Resources here on AM 770 KTTH. Stay with us. We will be right back.
You're listening to Investor Resources. Check out our website at iriradio.com and log on for a free report. That's iriradio.com. Don and Perry are waiting to answer your questions now at 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometimes when you take.
And we've certainly had that in the market so far this year. We've had a lot of rain and a few sun breaks along the way, but they did not last, and they did not go to new highs, which is what everybody's looking for. How do we get to a new high? You know, this has been going up for 10 years. What is the story today? This makes no sense whatsoever. And it doesn't matter how often you do the right thing. The outcome is not guaranteed. Life events are a constant state of flux. Nothing lasts. And it's what's true in life is certainly true when it comes to investing. I pay attention to what I eat. And because I have made an accountability pact with my granddaughter in Ogden.
There you go.
I'm exercising again, often to my regret, but I'm doing it. But just because I'm eating right and exercising doesn't mean I'm going to lose weight or that it's going to be a material change in my general health. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that have to happen
that
in
go
order.
Into that. Sure.
So you can follow a recipe and you can follow it to the T, and it doesn't mean that your cake or your meatloaf, either one, are going to taste the way you thought they would.
No, and that is really true in investing. You can have had tremendous success at some point in your past in investing, and you can say, you know what, this looks just like the same situation again, and you can line up the same trades. Everything looks like it's going to happen exactly the same way, and the outcome's completely different. You don't get anything close. And that's the nature of the market. That's really what goes on out there. It's not that what you've seen before is going to happen again. It's much more likely that what's going to happen now is something you've never seen before and something the market's never done before.
I have a neighbor who told me just exactly that story. I'd forgotten all about it.
Yeah.
But last January, the market took a little bit of a dip, and he said, well, I know how this plays out in the market.
There you go.
So he piled back in, put all of his retirement plan back in the market, and then he just watched it go down and down and down. And he's been trying to figure out. He got out, and then the market was going up. So he got back in, and then that was pretty close to the end of the year. And now he's underwater again.
Yep.
And he's trying to figure, how do we do this? Well, you know, as a general statement of investment truth, we've been told that you should invest in low-cost stock and bond index funds.
Correct. Index investing, very popular right now.
There's no reason to pay more than a quarter point or a half a percent. And just buy an index fund and sit there, and you'll be okay. What they don't tell you is, in order to be okay, you may have to take some really bad gut punches along the way.
It's easy to sell that whole process when everything's going up. When everything's going down, that's not so easy anymore. When you see, oh my goodness, you know, I'm taking the same big hit the market is. That's not what I was signing up for, because the markets always go up, right? But that's because you're looking at that 100-year chart behind your advisor. That doesn't happen over the shorter term, and that's when you can really have the pain set in.
So the asset process, asset allocation process, the risk management decision-making tool, we covered that in last week's webinar.
We did.
And some people just didn't understand how that system works and why it's seriously flawed. And if you've built a portfolio, your advisor's built a portfolio because you answered a series of questions and they said, well, based on your question, on the answers to these questions, your portfolio should be, and he laid out a proposal and said, this is what your portfolio should look like. We'll do this, and then every quarter we'll just rebalance your portfolio. Well, that raises a couple of questions about, well, how did you really differentiate the asset classes based on risk? And how do you know that my risk profile is going to drive the market? They didn't tell you that.
Didn't get to that part. No, yeah. Never did get to that part. And that's not what you signed up for. You were expecting that, well, if stocks are going down, bonds are going up. If inflation is going up, gold is going up. All of these correlations that they're going to tell you are fixed and they always hold true. Well, they don't. They don't hold true. And when they don't, you're the one that takes the hit. And they're going to say, well, if you just wait enough time out, you're going to be fine. A couple of decades and you'll never know this happened. And that really is the way that process works.
Or if you really don't like the way things are working now, you can answer the questions differently.
Yeah.
Yep. And if you tell us through your answers that you should have a different portfolio, then we'll change it. But nothing's going to change until you change the instructions, which is what your answers are.
And that's a really big deal. I mean, when you look at it, you're paying them to help you run your portfolio. And they're telling you, well, you tell me what to do and I'll do it. But unless you tell me to do something different, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. So I'm not really doing you any good at all. I'm not managing your assets. You are. And unless you change your mind, I'm going to keep doing the same thing. So you're not really getting anything out of that relationship.
So everyone understands, or at least believes, that what's happening when they sign a contract to be in the market is that you're investing to compound your wealth over time. And in exchange, you know there are going to be some bumps along the way.
Yep.
So the diversified investor actually signs another contract that has been violated, and that's when stocks go down, the fixed income or bonds, they're going to suffer too here, which is not part of the game.
Not supposed to happen that way. Not supposed to happen that way, but that's exactly what's going on right now.
So we have inflation and the Fed's commitment to raise interest rates, which are decimating bond returns year to date. And the Barclays Aggregate Bond Index, which covers a wide swath of credit quality and maturity lengths, is down 10% for the year.
There you go.
And while the S&P's down, I want to say 16, 17 in that range.
Close to 16, yeah.
So there goes the correlations. Stocks down, bonds up. I kind of balance things out. Well, there's no balance anymore. This is kind of everybody got on the same side of the canoe and it flipped over.
Yep, which is not the first time it's happened, but they're never going to tell you that if your advisor is handing you a pie chart. They're going to say, well, over the long haul, this is the way this works. And in the current environment, with interest rates increasing, we know that bond returns aren't going to be there the way they were. So it's going to be very tough sledding for a while. If you have the, quote, you know, 60-40 balanced portfolio, it's not going to perform well. It can't perform well. And they're not going to change things. You have to. And that's one of the biggest problems with that pie chart portfolio.
So it raises the question, if it's not going to perform well, why did they give it to me?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, it's because it works well when the market's going up, because a rising tide lifts all boats.
Correct.
And so in a rising market, it looks like this is easy. There's nothing to do here.
Right.
And there really isn't a lot to do when profits are rising in corporations and interest rates are falling, which make bonds attractive. But when those things reverse, both of which have changed this year, then the whole portfolio falls apart. And that comes back to our basic philosophy, is that you have a risk profile if you've worked with a standard financial advisor or with a website, and you went there because you didn't trust the financial advisor, so you went to Fidelity or Vanguard or Schwab or BlackRock or anybody else with a website, and they ran you through a series of questions, and yep. they said, well, based on your question responses, this portfolio out of six looks like it's the closest one for you. Well, that's fine. But all of that's based on the assumption that everything's working the way it's supposed to. And our position has been for years now, once we figured out the flaws of modern portfolio theory, that your opinion of the market, your opinion of risk doesn't change anything in the market. The market changes, and we must adapt to that change just like we do in life.
That's it. That's the biggest key, is you have to look at the market and say, I have to adapt to what's going on. The market's not going to change because you want it to or you need it to. And when it does change, don't listen to the broker that's going to tell you, well, just wait it out. At some point, we're going to be okay. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be on the wrong side of the market for an extended period of time, which can easily happen. You just have to understand that you don't look at this process as a fixed process that never changes. It needs to adapt. You need to adapt. Your portfolio needs to adapt, because as we've seen, the market's going to change radically. So you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over.
You have to be aware that that model that you bought doesn't promise anything.
Right.
It is, at least as we run those models, it is an assumption based on what's happened over the last month. Conditions are poor, to say the least.
Correct.
So until things get better, we don't want to play the game when it's a loser's game at the present time, or at least it appears like that's going to persist for a while. The right plan, the process, daily habits tend to reward their followers, but they don't promise anything. The issue is you have to adapt. When the facts change, I change my mind.
Got to be true. You have to do that.
What do you do? Typically, in a standard portfolio, the facts change, and they say, call me next quarter.
We'll be okay. Just hold on. Just wait. And your broker's job becomes just to calm you down and do enough handholding to keep your money in the firm. But they're not going to do anything differently than where you're allocated now, regardless of how big the changes in the markets are. And that's the part of that process we just couldn't live with. You need to adapt to what's going on in the market.
So they will tell you that, well, things are a lot cheaper than they used to be. So do you have any money left in your checking account?
There we go.
I remember those conversations.
Let's buy some now. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Well, anyway, perfect plans are a fantasy, and you don't want to play that game. The only fixed view that you should possess is not having a fixed view.
There you go. That's perfect. That's what you need to know. There's nothing that says this market is normal. Normal doesn't exist. Things change all the time, and you have to be willing to adapt relatively quickly to what's going on out there currently. And it doesn't matter what happened 20, 30 years ago. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah. You kind of have to approach it like a ball game. I mean, you just lost the ball. You leave your offensive team on the field? No, because you don't have
not,
the ball
not gonna
anymore.
Happen. Yeah. Not going to happen that
you're
way.
You're
right.
Going to adapt. It doesn't matter whether it's football, soccer, basketball, baseball, tennis. I mean, when you're in the lead and you got control, you play one way. And when you don't, you change. And we think that is not only normal, it is the right thing to do. But when it comes to your portfolio, well, you answered these questions 5 years ago. And your answers that we just went through are really the same. So same old, same old.
We're doing the right thing, as right as we're going to do it. We're not going to change what we're doing. So it's just going to stay the same. And that's just not good enough. You have to adapt. You have to change your portfolio. Otherwise, the market just rolls over you. You're on the bad side of things, and the market doesn't care what side you're on. The market doesn't care whether you like it or you don't like it. Things change, and you need to adapt to that as quickly as you can. And we are up on our last break of the afternoon here. If you'd like to, if you'd like to get on our next market update, that's coming up on Saturday, June 4th at 9 a.m., just go to irradio.com. That's irradio.com, and you can register for that webinar. If you'd like to talk to us this afternoon, we still have plenty of time to get your call on the board. Give us a call, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn.
Yeah, we're back.
In a land called Hanalei.
So, I wasn't planning on using. I apparently wrote the wrong bump number down on that. That is... Well, that's an old song. We won't go there. I need to take it off the list so I don't do that again. Anyway, one of the things that's important about investing is there is no such thing as free lunch. However, there are a lot of advertisements saying, do business with us because it's free. And you're saying, so how long are we going to be doing business with you if everything we do with you doesn't cost any money?
Anything that says it's free is a really good question. To take a long, hard look at, okay, so how are these people getting paid?
So one of those is the free robo-advisor.
And there's a bunch of them out there. There's a bunch of them out there.
So that whole industry has grown a lot. It's basically, and for somebody who is just getting started, young person, and they want to put aside $50 or $100 a month, yep. And you can't go into a local brokerage office and say, I want to open an account with $100. Will you help me?
Not going to get too far there.
No, we're not. So the robo-advisor is an easy place to do that. And you get started, you build up a little money, and you build up some wealth over time. But it is an overtime process. And a lot of the whole marketing has been, well, we're free, or at least we're next to free. Well, they really aren't, because there's compensation in the back door. Basically, what happens is they end up with contracts with various fund sponsors, and as a robo advisor, they accumulate a large amount of assets and they give it to Vanguard or Fidelity or BlackRock or whoever they contract with.
Correct.
And those companies reimburse them with some of the fund fees. Now the question is, is the robo-advisor going to use the cheapest funds or the funds that have a higher reimbursement?
And that's why you need to ask, where's your compensation coming from? Because you know there's no free lunch. Nothing's free. They're getting paid by someone. And you want that to be, when you're engaging in an investment advisory contract, you want it to be paid by you and not by someone else. Because if they're more interested in, like you said, Don, the funds that they're using are the ones you're going to be compensated for versus the ones that might be best for you. That's a conflict of interest. And it happens all the time in our industry, and it happens with those robo advisors. And that's why they can advertise as free, because there is no out-of-pocket expense to you, but you still end up paying.
Well, and the other way that you pay is that you end up with a higher than normal cash allocation.
Happens a lot that way.
So
yeah.
If they typically, let's say 2%, that would be a pretty standard minimum. Well, that would be a standard default cash allocation in most standardized portfolios,
Correct.
Modern portfolio. In fact, when we put them together, that's where we start. Now, we often have higher cash balances, which we do at the present time as
Correct.
The market is falling apart.
Yep.
But then when the market's going up, our cash allocations sometimes drop down below 1%, because in a rising market, you have more mandated cash. You're reducing your return.
We want that in the market when it's appropriate. Absolutely.
So that also is a hidden cost to the free robo advisor. It's a problem that most people are unaware of, and they don't really know how to take a look.
And the robo advisors, of course, are not advertising that. They you won't know unless you dig in a little bit and ask them. So, you know, why do I have a 10% cash position? Why is that there? And they'll come up with a reason for it, I'm sure. But that's a question you need to ask if you see that pop up in your portfolio.
So I'm going to put on my Captain Obvious hat.
Oh, yes. Okay. Very good.
You ready for this?
I'm hanging on. Go ahead.
Bad things happen in bad markets.
Well, that's absolutely Captain Obvious. That is correct. That is correct.
I'm glad you were hanging on to the desk there and fall over.
That's a fact.
But we have mentioned this before, that over the last decade, investors have been brainwashed into, I'd say, two basic things, that the modern portfolio diversified structure of asset allocation, buy some right. bonds, buy some stocks, buy some growth, buy some value, buy some international. You want to have a little bit of everything in your portfolio, because they do admit we don't know what's going to be the best place to be in the future.
Correct.
Well, what they should say is we don't have a clue what anything's going to be in the future. So their answer is we just buy a little bit of everything, and the odds are something will be working when you need the money. Unless that's been recently.
Unless that's been recently when nothing is. And then everyone's major mantra is, you know, buy the dip. If we have a dip, buy the dip. And people don't realize that when you buy that dip, it may not be done yet. And as soon as you put your money in the market, you're going to start losing more money than you were losing before. And that's what's been going on recently.
And so we have seen that. And when we look at our screens, we have big green candles.
Yep.
And that's a big inflow of money. In fact, speaking of info, I mean, this buy the dip has, there have been plenty of dips so far this year.
Right. Yeah. No shortage.
It has brought in a lot of investor money. People have been abandoning bonds, I mean, putting money in stocks. And the amount of money from retail investors so far this year is more than retail investors have put in the market in the last 19 years combined.
How about that? I mean, that's a huge.
It's huge.
That's a huge shift. That also accounts for some of the volatility. That takes a lot of money to move markets that much, and it's pouring in right now.
So investors' mentality over the past decade can basically be summed up in the three words that you just used, Perry: buy the dip.
Buy the dip.
Which we abbreviate BTDers. You know, that's we've got to have an acronym, right?
Always, yeah.
So basically, this behavior has been rewarded innumerable times over the last decade. And what we are dealing with now is unwinding that, and people are finding out that just because we had a sell-off and it's cheaper this week than it was last week or before, that it can still go down further.
It can go down. In the midst of a downtrend like this, when the market dips even more, we look back and we say, okay, that's what we thought. We're in a really significant downtrend, so a couple of up days are not going to change our point of view. You need a really consistent pattern of buying to set in, and we have not seen that yet, so, which is why all the major indices are below their 200-day average, and that's where bad things happen. That means we are in an exceedingly weak market, and it's not generally the time that we're going to have this huge recovery right now. So buying the dip right now is actually a very risky proposition.
So we see red and green candles, and we'll get 3% up day followed by a 3% down day.
Yeah.
It's just violent.
Nowhere, yeah. And you're going nowhere.
People have not figured out that all of the buy the dip mantra and the markets always go up and you'll miss out on the best days, that's all sales talk.
Complete sales pitch, absolutely.
None of it is investment process.
Right.
It is basically, we're a mutual fund and we manage billions of dollars and we know how to survive markets, because just look how long we've been in business.
And that person you're talking to, their job is to get you to write a check. Say whatever you have to say to get them to write a check and send in more money. That's the job. They're a paid salesperson, and they are not giving you financial advice based on what's going on in the market. It's based on, can we get your dollars into our fund?
That's the objective.
Yep.
It's a sales talk. So I'm talking about the best and worst days, which we mentioned in an earlier segment today, 25 best days and the 25 worst days going back to 1993, 47 of them happened below the 200-day moving average.
There you go. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, this is a dangerous place to be in the market, and every big up day seems to be offset right now by a couple of bigger down days, and that's why the trend is still negative right now.
So instead of worrying about the bear, we should be worrying about where are the dragons lurking.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they are waiting to gobble you up.
They are out and circling now. And like you said, this is the time, the place where really bad things can happen in markets, because there's already the weakness there. There's already the fears in the air. And it doesn't take much to set off one of those capitulation selling frenzies. And you don't want to be part of that. And there's no real evidence right now that there's any significant buying coming in right now. So that says the preponderance of the evidence says we are still in a downtrend right now.
And so one of those catalysts that's likely to cause Friday's rally to not last very long, because it could still go up another day or two.
Sure.
But Chairman Powell has said very clearly that the Fed is going to raise interest rates again. And we, the Fed, expect that we're going to raise this year at least another 0.5 percentage points. So they're going to add a full percentage point, which could push us up to somewhere between 2 and 3, deciding what they actually do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they still have room to do an additional one, which could be 75 basis points or 0.75%. And none of that, even though it's expected, what that does is it changes the way stock prices are valued on a formula basis.
Correct.
Particularly from a fundamental standpoint on the tech stocks and the growth stocks, which don't pay dividends, and their future is predicated on selling an expanding amount of product or service, whatever that is they're selling, and the economy slows down and they don't do that. And a higher interest rate to discount it more deeply, and what you have is a substantially lower stock market.
And that's what we're seeing right now. That's right. The rates keep going up, the economy keeps slowing down, and that's the spiral we're in right now.
So basically, we need an attitude adjustment. This is not calling for happy hour, though that might be easier to adjust our attitude.
It's true.
But we need to assume that the market is not driven simply into higher levels. Are we almost out of time? We got music in our ear.
We're coming up. Yeah, we got about eight. Got about a minute. Got about 30 seconds.
Okay, so we're about ready to go unlive, as I've been saying lately.
That's correct.
You go to our website, irradio.com, sign up for the watch last week's webinar. You get a lot of information. You'll be a lot smarter about what's going on in the market. You want to talk to us during the week, it's 800-317-9119, 800-317-9119. Or you can send us an email, help@irradio.com. help@irradio.com. Have a great week.